Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody fellowshipping and say good morning. As I'm sure that you are aware by now, Pastor Jamie had a small procedure this week on Thursday. He is recuperating. And so we have a real privilege this morning. And that privilege is that we have a special, and I mean that special, brother that is going to come and share the word with us. I'm excited about this. I've wanted to hear this brother divide the word of truth for a while now, and this morning we get that opportunity. The gentleman that'll be coming is Pastor Jonathan Newman. Jonathan was born and raised in Troy, Ohio. I didn't catch, Jonathan, how many years you've been married to your lovely wife, Jenny? 29 years they've been married. In 1998, the Lord worked through Jonathan and Jenny, and they planted a church in Troy. We pray for this church, so this church's name will not be as a surprise to you. It's Koinos Church. Jonathan has a bachelor's degree in religious studies and sociology from Union University and a master's degree in divinity from Mid-American Baptist Theological Seminary. And in 2024, Jonathan was elected to the Ohio House of Representatives for District 80. District 80, I had to look this up. I didn't know right off the top of my head. District 80 is all of Miami County and portions of Dark County. So if you would join me in welcoming Jonathan Newman this morning.
It is a joy to be here with you all, with my wife. Thank you for welcoming us. I know some of you, not all of you. Dear Brother Craig just came over and hugged my neck, and it's so good to see you, Craig. Koinos Church is a fellow sister church in the Greater Dayton Association with you all. I know your pastor, Pastor Jamie, well. We spent a good bit of time fishing in a canoe together in the Boundary Waters. We've shared a lot of stories together. And we love your church. We think highly of your church and what you're doing here, the ministry in Piqua. And I'm glad Pastor Jamie gave me the call to come and preach for you all this morning. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10. In just a moment, we'll read the word. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word in just a moment. This morning, the title of my sermon is Stand Against the Schemes of the Devil in an Abortion Rights State. This morning, the text is calling us to stand against the schemes of the devil. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Please stand for the reading of the scriptures. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I asked Pastor Jamie's direction and guidance on the text and the sermon for today, And he said that a sermon focused on ending abortion in this state, in this country, in this world would be appropriate. This text calls the church, calls all believers here and everywhere in the world to stand firm against the devil's scheme of murdering babies. This is not a political speech. This is the word of God to God's people everywhere. In 2023, Ohio voters did the worst thing our state has ever done. Ohio voters made abortion a right to anyone who wishes to have one. That is worse than the COVID-19 shutdowns, legalizing gambling, legalizing marijuana, or anything else our state has done. I say this is the worst thing our state has ever done because we have given full permission to murder unborn babies. In 2025, as a result, 25,000 babies at least were murdered in the state of Ohio. Nationwide, about 1 million. And that will happen again this year and next year and on until the evil of abortion is ended. You can read it in the Ohio Constitution, Article 1, Section 22. The right is given there. Every individual has a right to murder their unborn baby up to 21 weeks and 6 days. The text of Scripture in Ephesians 6 tells the church how to live biblically faithful lives in a world of darkness that hates God and His truth. Abortion is a reality, not because people hate babies, although that may be a truth, but abortion exists because people hate God. That is the reality. That is why every evil in the world exists. That is why the evil of abortion exists. We come to this text on the spiritual armor and spiritual warfare after having read through the epistle to the Ephesians. In the first chapters of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3, we are told great theological truths of the conquering Savior who has conquered our sins, risen from the dead, and is exalted in the heavens, giving life and all things to the church, putting all his enemies under his feet. He is seated at the place of authority, at the right hand of God the Father, and we are told we are seated with him in the heavenly places. He is seated with all power and dominion and has a name above all names, so that all things, all his enemies will be placed under his feet. And he is the head over all things. He is the head over all things to his church. And in chapter 2, verse 10, we are told that believers, those born again, we have been chosen by him to do good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, Ephesians names several good works, many good works, many things, including marriage, including parenting, many instructions, good works that believers have been chosen to do, and these good works prepared beforehand for them to do. And then we come to chapter 6, verse 10, and we're told about spiritual warfare, and you cannot mistake it. It is very clear. Every believer, every church has been chosen by God to do the good work of standing against the schemes of the devil. That means, Christian, you have been called to stand against Satan's schemes. And in our day, we've been called to stand against this scheme, this evil. It's not the only one, but I think it is the greatest one. It is the worst one. We are called to stand against the evil of abortion. Again, I will say, this is not a political talk. This is a sermon to the people of God. The Church of God has a power that no other entity, no other body in the world possesses. It is the power of the Word of God. It is the power of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, rising from the dead, returning to earth to redeem his church, to put the devil in the abyss for eternity. We have the power of Christ. We must, in that power, go to battle with the forces of the darkness. I am not alone in thinking this. I'm sure many in this congregation believe this. I hope all of you, maybe all of you agree with this, and maybe all of you are engaging in this warfare. My experience, however, tells me that many Christians, many churches are asleep. Asleep in many ways. Specifically, asleep in this way. In addressing abortion, many Christians, many churches think we should not talk about the things that might upset some. We should not talk about things that have a political flavor to them. Dear friend, I would ask you, who is the Most High King? Who is the one who occupies the office of the highest government in the universe? In other words, who is the highest political officer in the universe? It is Jesus Christ, the reigning Lord who has conquered Satan and our sin. And we are to obey him and none other. Charles Spurgeon was a pastor who thought so. He battled with things that were very prevalent in the government, in the news, in politics. And I want to read to you a bit of one of his sermons that he gave to his church in 1891. The title of his sermon is War, War, War. It was a time when the people of England feared that their nation might go to war. He gave a text, he gave an exposition on Ephesians chapter 6. He said these words in his sermon. He said, "To be a Christian is to be a warrior. The good soldier of Jesus Christ must not expect to find ease in this world. It is a battlefield. Neither must he reckon upon the friendship of the world, for that would be enmity against God. His occupation is war. As he puts on piece by piece of the armor provided for him, he may wisely say to himself, 'This warns me of danger. This prepares me for warfare. This prophesies opposition.'" And in his sermon, he charged his church not so much as to dream of winning the battle against Satan by accident, by remaining quiet, or by taking matters easily. Faithful Pastor Spurgeon and many pastors through the centuries have proclaimed to the people of God, we have been called by the Word of God, by the power of the Spirit, to conquer Satan in this world, to lead the lost to salvation in Christ, because one day Christ will return and he'll bring all of us home with him. So I want you to look at the words of verse 10. Look at verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Christian, you have been called to grow. You have been called not to weakness, not to laziness, not to comfort. You have been called to work, to grow, so that you will be strong. Strong how? Not strong physically, strong in spirit, strong in the truth. This means we need churches like this one. Churches like Piqua Baptist Church, where the pastors preach the word of God to God's people for the strengthening of their people. I love the sermon series of this church. You're going through 1 Kings. I looked at last Sunday's sermon, 1 Kings chapter 12 through 14. I love how this church preaches what happens to anyone when there is a neglect of God's word. And we see exactly what happened to the people of God in Israel. We see what happened following Solomon's great sin. Solomon was the wisest, most blessed, wealthiest king of God's people. God blessed him greatly, and yet in spite of God's blessing, King Solomon disobeyed God by embracing the many wives and the many nations and the many idols of the false gods. And what happened to the nation of Israel because of Solomon's sin? The nation became divided at the hands of Solomon's son, Jeroboam. And what did Jeroboam do? In his great foolishness, the kingdom was divided. The ten tribes versus the one tribe, Judah. Jeroboam continued to embrace idolatry and the worship of false gods, which led to civil war, a divided nation and civil war among God's people, and eventually led to the complete destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and the deportation of God's people into slavery. What happens as a result of God's people not standing against the schemes of the devil? Destruction. We should expect that of those who do not know God, who hate God. We should expect that of them. But we should expect of the church for God's people to stand strong, to grow. Because, as Peter warns in 1 Peter 5:8, there is a lion, a roaring lion, seeking to devour many. Christians should not live in this world thinking all is peace, all is ease, that there is no enemy. We believe, because the Bible tells us, evil is real. Lucifer is real. He is the one who hated God in the beginning and tried to take the throne of God and would have killed God if he was able, but he was not. And now he is the roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but we take great strength in the fact that Jesus is the lion. In Revelation, we are told, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah who will return and seize the devil and bind him in a chain and cast him into the abyss. We are not weak. We do not have a weak Savior. We have a mighty God. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 8, Judah is the lion. Judah is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And God says of him, his hand will be on the neck of his enemy, and he will conquer his enemy. Church, you are called to be strong, following after obeying the lion of the king of Judah, of the tribe of Judah. We're called to stand against Satan's evil schemes, especially abortion. But he has many schemes. Abortion is not the only one. We're called to stand against all his schemes, all of his deceptions. Every world religion, every other faith that is not obedient to the gospel is of the devil. It is a deception. We're to stand against all falsehood in the world. And certainly abortion must be the leading one of those. Defeating abortion requires spiritual battle more than a political battle. We must engage it at every front, including in the political battle, but it is more than that. Raising more money, getting more votes will not be enough to defeat abortion. Abortion must be defeated by defeating Satan himself in the hearts and minds of men. What is needed is faithful Bible-preaching churches who will teach and preach God's people, who will act, who will pray, who will lead, who will speak. I want to say something to you, silver senior citizens, believers of this church. I do not mean to say that if you're old and weak and tired, that there's nothing you can do because you can't stand very strong anymore. No, I think what the Bible means is no matter how weak you may be physically because of your age or because of your physical condition or your disability in some way, that does not mean you cannot stand firm. We stand firm because Christ is strong. You silver senior citizens, you have a power to wield against the enemy that is great. You have the power of prayer before Almighty God, calling upon him to crush the devil's lies. I have a 90-year-old mother. She still teaches her old lady Sunday school class at Curve Baptist Church in West Tennessee. Those ladies pray. And I know God in heaven hears their prayers and answers their prayers. My 91-year-old father-in-law, my wife's father in Atlanta, Georgia, he and his wife are praying people in their elderly years. They are praying against the evils of the devil. You pray. Church, pray. Parents, teach your young children God's word at home. Teach them to fear God. Teach them to follow and obey God and oppose evil in this world. And as your children are discipled, as the church does its work, discipling its children, more and more people, more and more disciples of the church are raised up in this culture who will defeat the evil of the devil. I think one of the greatest reasons our nation is in the condition it is in now is because of a lack of family worship for over 100 years. When God's people do not obey him, not teaching their children at home for over 100 years, what else do you expect than a culture that does not know God and does not fear him? Not only church family worship, but also church discipline. Over 100 years of churches not taking sin seriously in the church to discipline its own church members when they disobey God. What do you expect of a culture that does that? This is what we have. Churches must return to obedience to God. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Verse 11 says, stand against the schemes of the devil. What are schemes? Schemes, that word means deceit, craftiness, trickery, or tricks. The devil has many ways of deceiving, many ways of, in his craftiness, tricking and harming people. You see those schemes throughout the Bible, beginning in Genesis chapter 3, where the serpent appeared in the garden, in the tree, questioning God and his word. Did God actually say that is a scheme of the devil? In Genesis, in chapter 3, verse 4, contradicting God, telling Adam and Eve, you surely will not die. God said they would die. Lucifer says you won't die. Chapter 3, verse 5, calling God a liar. He says, for God knows that when you eat of the tree, you will become like him. You won't die. God is a liar. That is a scheme of the devil. John chapter 8, 44, he is a liar. He is the liar and the father of lies. Revelation 12, 9, he is the deceiver. He is the deceiver of the whole world. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, he is the one who blinds people's minds, preventing them from knowing the truth and taking them captive to the darkness. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, he appears good as an angel of light. He disguises himself to lead many astray. 2 Timothy 2, 26, he captures people in his deceitful schemes, darkening their minds. He captures them to do his will. And that is what the entire world does. And right now in the state of Ohio, that is what is happening. He has captured people in his deceitful schemes to do his will. John 8, 44, Satan is a murderer. One of his schemes is murder. Linked together with all of his other schemes, he is a murderer. His original aim was to kill God and the Son of God, attempting to kill the Lord Jesus at birth. But he failed because, of course, God is almighty. And Revelation chapter 12 tells us when he failed at killing the Son of God, he turned his attention to man, to the earth, to continue his long war against God because he hates the glory of God and the truth of God by attacking mankind. Read Revelation chapter 12. It's very eye-opening. I believe that is exactly what is happening now through the murderous scheme of the devil of abortion. Abortion is a scheme of the devil, possibly the grossest, most widespread, deadliest of all time. First, Christians must grasp the reality that abortion is not primarily about killing babies, although it certainly is the murder of babies. Killing babies is not Satan's priority. Killing babies, all murder, is his scheme. It's his craft aimed at bringing down God. Satan's scheme is aimed at destroying God himself by destroying those who bear his image. This is why in Genesis chapter 9, the Bible prescribes the death penalty for anyone who intentionally takes the life of another person. That crime is not primarily against the person. It's primarily against God in heaven whose image the person bears. Christians must wage war on abortion because we must oppose Satan's scheme to defeat God. It's not a political matter, although politics is involved. This is a matter of worshiping and treasuring God. God does not need our defense, but he has commanded us to stand firm. It's not because God is weak. Dear brothers and sisters, we must not be weak. We must be strong in his truth. Where did this come from? Of course, it came from Satan, and he put it into the hands of men and women. Women like Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, who aligned herself with the teachings of Karl Marx, Adolf Hitler, and other socialists who hated God and his truth and embraced the same idea of eugenics. One of her board members was bedfellows with Hitler and other socialists. One of her board members said these words, "Let us conceive for a moment at least a world not burdened by the weight of dependent and delinquent classes, a total population of mature, intelligent, critical, and expressive men and women, instead of the ignorant, mentally passive class, which now forms the barren substratum of our civilization. That would indeed produce a terrestrial paradise." You notice, the God-hating socialist communists always promise a paradise without God. And what they always produce is a death like hell without God. That's all they produce. Margaret Sanger envisioned a world where the government owned the children and provided everything for all people. She promised a paradise, but only produced death. She joined the American Socialist Group. So if you want to understand what's happening right now in the world with this resurrection of socialism, trace the roots. Margaret Sanger joined the American Socialist Movement and sought to depopulate the planet. The things you're hearing today are not new. And they were not new in that day of Margaret Sanger. They were new on the day of Genesis chapter 3. To rid the world of subpar races and give everyone sexual freedom. I have a question for you. What has caused the greatest number of human deaths in the history of the world? What would you think? When we ponder this, when we think, well, okay, so certainly some terrible disease did it. Not even close. Oh, then it might, okay. If it wasn't some disease, Black Death or cancer or heart disease, then it must be war, right? It must be war has caused the most death. Not even close. We think, and I've looked at a lot of numbers, and a lot of organizations out there have done this, if you add up the known wars and the deaths from those, it comes to about 570 million deaths due to war. You know how many abortions there have been, how many people have been killed by abortion? Well, we don't know for sure. But since 1920, that's when Russia legalized abortion. Russia was the first one to do it. No surprise. And we followed. Since 1920, it's estimated there have been about 1 billion abortions. That's twice the number of all wars that we know of. The American socialist Margaret Sanger was the leader, leading our nation and others to do that. What is murder? Murder is the intentional killing of an innocent person. It is an attack on a person who bears the image of God. It is an attack on the person of God himself. Therefore, abortion is maybe the greatest attack ever on the image of God. And that's why I say it is possibly, likely, the worst, grossest, most widespread evil scheme of the devil. And we are called to stand against the schemes of the devil. But what about things outside the church, they say? The church is to deal with things inside the church. Do Sunday school, do communion, do baptism, help the poor. But the things outside the church has to be hands off. You can only keep your worship and your religion inside your walls, inside your home. When you exit your door, you cannot speak. Dear friends, this is not true. I'll refer again to Spurgeon's sermon entitled War, War, War. He called God's people to fight the Lord's battles. In his day in England, slavery had already been ended. But he began preaching about slavery in the United States. At that time, slavery was still legal in the United States. And he called God's people to war against the evils that were present in England of his time. Child labor, prostitution, all kinds of evils. And this is part of what he said. He called his church to action. He said, go down the dark alley, climb the creaking staircase, penetrate the dens of iniquity where the lion of the pit lies in his death lair. And go ye and pluck out of the mouth of the lion two legs and a piece of an ear, if that be all you can save. Count it always joy to follow the lamb, to seize him in his den, and fight him where he reigns most secure. Protest daily by act, by word, by pen, by tongue, against evil of every kind and shape. Be ye as burning and shining lights in the midst of darkness, and as two-edged swords in the mouth of the hosts of sin. Why? A true Christian who lives near to God and is filled with grace and is kept holy may stand in the midst of sinners and do wonders. He opposed slavery in the United States, and he was invited by some wealthy people in the United States to come to America for a preaching tour. And do you know what happened? Do you think Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, ever visited the United States? He never, it never happened. He never came here. You know why? Because Christians in America threaten to murder him because he opposed the evil of slavery. Imagine that. And thank God slavery was ended. Should the church preach and address evils outside the church walls? Well, Spurgeon was a good example. Another one is William Wilberforce. In Parliament in England, he engaged a 46-year-long battle against slavery as a Christian in Parliament, taking biblical truth to Parliament to end the evil of slavery. He told England that he believed God would punish England for their sin of slavery if they did not repent, even bringing down the nation. Here's what he said. It would be criminal to withhold the declaration that of all the motives by which I am prompted to address you, to the Congress, to the Parliament, that which operates on me with the greatest force is the consideration of the present state and prospects of our country, that the Almighty Creator of the universe governs the world which He has made, that the sufferings of nations are to be regarded as the punishment of national crimes, and their decline and fall as the execution of His sentence. Charles Spurgeon said it. William Wilberforce said it. God will punish the nations for their evils against Him. And dear friend, I think this nation, this state, must take this to heart. God will punish the wicked. God will send Satan to hell along with all of His servants. In church, we must stand against those evils. We must not join those evils. We wrestle against not flesh and blood. Look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the armor of God. We do not wrestle against people, although people are involved. We seek to rescue the people. But our work is against Satan himself. The rulers, it says, the rulers, the authorities, those rulers are angels and demons, Satan himself and all of his followers. The authorities, those spiritual powers in high places. They've been given power over this present darkness, it says. This would include demons possessed with Satan's power and government world leaders who are servants of those demons and Satan. We are to wrestle against them. The word wrestle, what does that mean? It means to throw your opponent down. Now, Jesus will do that literally, physically with Lucifer and all of his servants. We are not called to physical engagement. We're called to spiritual and ideological engagement. We're to throw down the lies of the devil with the truths of God. How are we to do that? We're to do that with the power of Christ. Hebrews 2:14 says this, the invisible God took on flesh so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death are subject to lifelong slavery. Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead to conquer sin and conquer death, and it is through his power that we do this because he is now the enthroned Lord. He is the enthroned King on the throne of heaven. He died, he rose again, and he is enthroned now, ascended back to the Father's side. That is where he rules and reigns. He is the conquering, reigning King. And so we resist Satan with the weapons of Christ the ruler. The weapons of our warfare are not flesh and blood, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:4. And so, verse 13, we are to take up the whole armor of God. And I want to point out just one, the belt of truth. Now, put on all the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. But think about the truth. Put on the belt of truth. Be prepared with the truth in your own mind, in your own home, in your own church, and in the world. Be prepared to speak the truth and to live and act with the truth against the lies of the devil, such as the unborn baby is not a human person. It's only a blob of cells. That is a lie from the devil, because he hates God and he wants to destroy God's glory. The unborn baby bears the full image of God. It must be protected as the Constitution of the United States declares, because our founding fathers recognized that all rights come from God in heaven. This only agrees with the Bible says. And this part was said out loud by those who support the killing of babies. Bill Maher is one you can rely on to say the truth every once in a while. On Real Time with Bill Maher, he said it bluntly, talking about his shock at how many Christians who say they believe in protecting the unborn but will not stand up to call abortion murder and call for the punishment of those who do it. He called us hypocrites. And he was right. And he finished that section in his monologue by saying, of course babies are humans. Of course they are. Everybody knows it. Good riddance. Good riddance. He's all for killing fully human babies. He says, I don't care. Christian, let me ask you, do you care? Do you care about the glory of God? Do you care about the enemy who wants to bring God himself down? Do you care? Of course you do. You must. There's the lie of the church has no business in this fight. Well, of course that's not true. Look at the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Jeremiah. Through God's prophet, God's word is spoken, condemning the sins of God's people and the pagan nations around them. God's judgment will fall on all who disobey him. This nation, any nation. Great Britain, any nation. We must warn all. God's judgment will come. Another lie, abortion is necessary. It is health care. We must rescue dying mothers. That is a lie from the devil. Because the intentional killing of an innocent person is not murder. The intentional killing of an innocent person is murder. It is not health care. It is murder. Abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent person. Therefore, abortion is murder. And I think at the end of the day, everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. Lucifer himself knows this. Bill Maher, atheist, knows this. You know this. And we must speak this and not budge. Others say abortion is necessary in the case of rape. We live in a state where the death penalty has not been exercised in, I don't know how many years, 10 years? The death penalty has not been exercised in this state? Oh, no, that's, no, no, no. Actually, that's not true. The death penalty is exercised about 25,000 times a year. Who's being executed? The unborn baby for a crime they did not commit. Think about that. We know it's murder, and we know the death penalty must be exercised. We're executing the wrong person. That is a horrific evil. And there are other lies. This section ends with the gospel of peace, and I want to end with the gospel of peace. There is no way we can stand against the schemes of the devil unless we ourselves have acknowledged to the Lord God that we also joined forces along with Adam and Eve in the garden. They joined forces with Lucifer to stand against the glory of God. Every single one of us joined forces with Lucifer as well, seeking our own will, living in our own sins to please ourselves, to disobey God. And we would all be cast into hell along with Lucifer, except Christ died for our sins. If you have confessed your sins to Jesus, he has forgiven you for your rebellion and your hatred of his glory. And he has saved you, forgiving your sins and making you righteous in Christ. Now, eternal life is yours. You will not be cast into the abyss with Lucifer. You'll receive eternal life. Dear friend, anyone in the room, if you have not yet confessed your sins and repented of your sins to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus, believing the gospel and following Christ, your sins have not yet been forgiven. And you will be punished along with Lucifer. So today, dear friend, if you're not saved, today you must. You must confess your sins. You must trust Christ. You must be saved. And if you will confess, he will save you today. Will you do that? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray that every person in this room, we will submit ourselves to you. If anyone in this room now is not saved, Lord, tug their heart, pull them, make them see, convict them, make them want to repent. Dear friends, dear Lord God, save them. And God, I pray you would empower us, empower your church to go and preach the gospel to all people and stand against the devil's lies for your glory, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.